Morning everyone, hope I find you well and in good spirits. I'd like to come before you today with a word that's been on my heart for quite a while now, quite a few months, and I've just felt it was the right time to put it down on paper and just bring it to you now. It's entitled When Jesus Christ Is Your Lord and Saviour, You'll Never Walk Alone. So I'm going to be looking at the famous song, You'll Never Walk Alone, and we'll go through the verses of it. I've split it into four parts, and we'll look at each part separately, and we'll link that with scripture. But before I start, I just bring everything before the Lord. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just praise your glorious, your wonderful name. We thank you for this precious time when we can come before your throne and just give you all our thoughts, our prayers, our concerns, our worries, whatever they might be, Lord. And it's only because of what you've done on the cross of Calvary that you tore that veil from top to bottom and you shed that precious blood to set us free, Lord. So I just come before you now, Father, and just ask that my words will be your words. Be nothing of me. You take all of me away, Lord, and in everything I say and do, just bring glory and honour to your name. And I just ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So, looking at the song, You'll Never Walk Alone. Famous song, as I say. It's used in quite a few football grounds around Europe. Celtic, Borussia Dortmund in Germany. But the most famous one is Liverpool in Anfield. It's become like the theme song for Liverpool now. So I'll go through, read it through for you, and then, as I say, we'll look at it and discuss it with scripture. So, when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. So very, as I say, very, very famous song. And it originated, as I say, in 1945. It was written for a film, a musical, called Carousel, and it was written and composed by Rodgers and Hammersmith, so very, very famous duo from the past who did a lot of musicals, a lot of music. And since then, it's had quite a lot of cover versions. A lot of people have sang it, but as I say, the most famous is in the 60s from Jerry and the Pacemakers from Liverpool, and they sang it and it went to number one. And then from then, it's become this amazing theme. So I've found out that Liverpool Football Club, they were one of the first clubs where they had an announcer before the game started, or they used to call him a DJ back then. And what he used to do was he'd play the top 10 from that week to the crowd before the teams would come out. The cop, the ground would sing along all the famous songs in the 60s. But I'd say, but the main one at the time being Jerry and the Pacemakers. But some fans, they recall that the Liverpool supporters actually sang this song at Hillsborough in 1963. An FA Cup match against Leicester, a semi-final, and it was only 6 months later that Jerry and the Pacemakers brought it out. So, as I say, it's been around for quite a while. And the very famous composer, Irving Berlin, when he heard it and looked at the actual words, he's down and quoted as saying he compares it to Psalm 23, which is quite a big statement to come up with when you're comparing the song, you know, with the Bible, such a famous psalm in the Bible. So maybe that's another study for another day, compare, you know, the words alongside. So I'd say what I'm going to do, I'm going to split it into four, I'm going to read it into like three lines each, and then we'll have a look at what the Lord's saying. So the first part is, when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. So, as I say, I've had it on my heart for quite a while, this talk. When I was looking at this, it's telling me anyway, telling me straight away that, you know, we are going to walk through storms. It doesn't say, you know, you might walk through, it says when you're going to walk through a storm. And this is in the Christian life, you know, we are going to meet storms, we're going to go through valleys. The Lord said that himself. He said, you know, if you follow me, you know, you're going to suffer persecution. You know, they hated him, so they're going to hate us. That's what he said. So we're going to go through the storms. And it says again, we're going to walk through a storm. So we don't know when a storm's going to come. We don't know how it's going to happen to us, what form it's going to take. We don't know where it's going to happen, how long it's going to be going on for. And as I said, what type of storm? You know, there's loads of different ways we can be going through a storm. It doesn't have to be full-on persecution. It can be lots of little different things, little small things that can really affect you. Could be health, could be anything. But it's how we react in the storm and how we react when we see a storm coming. You know, in the natural world, our natural reaction when we see a storm or we're caught in a storm is to cower down, isn't it? It's to put your head in, bring your collars up like that. You know, you put your coat right up, you cower down, you look for shelter, you might start running somewhere. But your natural reaction is to come in together, you know, to make a tight ball, so you're keeping yourself close. But these words say, when you're walking through some, hold your head up high. You know, so that I don't think there's been many of us who've been caught in a storm and have just put our heads up and started praising the Lord, you know, which we should do, really. You know, I've got to the point now, if I see or I hear a big lightning and thunderstorm going on, I love seeing it. I love running out into the backyard and having a look at it and just seeing the power that's there in nature, you know. And this is all at God's hand. And when I was going through this, I was looking at it, and the scripture came to mind was the Lord said, when he's talking about the end times, and he said, you know, when you see all these things happening, he doesn't say, cower down, go and hide somewhere, stick your head in the sand. He says, look up and rejoice, for your redemption draws nigh. And that's what we should be. You know, we should be walking so strong with the Lord that no storm should affect us, however fierce, however long, whatever form it comes in. We should be giving it to him, giving him the glory, you know, even as we're going through the storm, like the apostles did in the jails. You know, they're giving praises and glory to the Lord when they're shackled in the centre dungeon in pitch black, chained together. They're just giving glory to the Lord. And that's what we've got to start doing. You know, giving glory to the Lord, whatever circumstances that we're going through, however hard, however dark, however long it goes on for, we've got to give him the glory, because he's the one guiding us, he's the one leading us. And as it says on that last part, then it says, and don't be afraid of the dark. You know, it says, you're walking through the storm, you're going to go through it, hold your head up, don't be afraid of the dark. And many times in scripture, Jesus says that, doesn't he? Don't be afraid, it's me. Be of good cheer. Why are you afraid? Don't be afraid. And as we look in, one of the scriptures I found was in Mark chapter 4. We'll have a quick look at that one. It says, verse 39 in chapter 4 of Mark. If we just go back to verse 38, it's about the storm, about Jesus being in the boat. He said, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And when I read that, and looking at the words that we've read, you know, don't be afraid of the dark. The disciples here, they show two types of fear within probably a couple of minutes of each other. You know, the first one, they're showing this ungodly fear. You know, they're going to perish, it says. You know, teacher, don't you care that we're going to perish? They're fearful of the lives, they're fearful of the storm that's going on raging round about them. The boat's going to sink, they're going to drown. They've got this ungodly fear, and yet the God of creation is with them in the boat. And then Jesus wakes up, you know, he speaks to the storm. It diminishes instantly, goes perfectly calm. And then it says, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be? Even the wind and the rain and the sea obey him. So to me, that is a godly fear then. So within that short space of time, they've shown ungodly fear and godly fear. And that's what I'd like just to focus on just for a few moments, is what fear do we have? Have we got an ungodly fear? Or do we have a godly fear? And when I went through scripture, I'll just read some of the actual scriptures that I found. Ungodly fear. It's a characteristic of the wicked people, it says in Revelation. You have a fear of idols in 2 Kings. There's a fear of man. It's an ungodly fear of man in John. Of a judgment that's going to happen. You have fear of what's going to happen. That was in Luke and in Revelation. Future punishments, what's going to happen. Maybe you're not 100% sure whether... Am I going to heaven if I die? I don't know. That ungodly fear again. You can have that ungodly fear taken away. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that can go, that fear. In Psalms it says this ungodly fear is a consuming fear. Proverbs, it says God mocks it. He mocks ungodly fear. In Psalms again, it says that we're sometimes tempted into ungodly fear. And that means, really, in Psalm 27, it said there's no trust in God, real trust in God, if we have ungodly fear. And that's it's a strong, strong statement. We say we love Jesus, we sing the songs, we pray. We go to prayer meetings, but deep down, when the door's shut and you're on your own, do we really, really, truly believe it? Because if we don't trust God. It's an ungodly fear. And then when you look at the other side of that coin, to have a godly fear, it says God is the author of it. You know, we need it to please him. How do we get it? Search the scriptures, it says in Proverbs. Search the scriptures. And in 1 Peter, it's commanded. It's a commandment as well. To have a godly fear. And it should, hopefully, if we have it, it helps us to worship God properly. Without it, we can't worship God properly, it says in Proverbs. It helps us in our service to God, in Hebrews. Helps us to avoid sin. We know scripture. We've got a godly fear of the Lord and his precious word. We don't want to sin. And we will avoid it, like the plague, you know. And it also says in 2 Corinthians, it perfects our holiness towards God as well. As Christians, it also says that with this godly fear in Psalm 86, that we should pray for it. We should pray for a godly fear. so that we can stand strong in the storm. And then once we have it, once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it says in Colossians, it should be exhibited in our calling. People should see it in us, not just what we say, you know, we say, oh yeah, I fear God, but in our actions as well, you know, what's going on at the moment in the world. Everybody's bowing the knee. Everybody's doing this, everybody's doing that. If it's against the Lord, would you make a stand? It's coming to that point, it's getting closer and closer, where we are going to have to stand up for the Lord. We are going to make a choice soon, publicly, that we follow Jesus Christ. How are we going to do that? We can only do it when the Holy Spirit has given us that strength. And in 1 Peter it says, the godly fear, it's a reason for our hope. You know, our hope is Jesus Christ. Our hope is that he's coming back. And then once we have it, once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, in Psalms it says, it should be taught to others then. You know, we should teach this fear to others. Now, as I say, a godly fear, it's not that you're petrified and scared of God, but you know that he is God. He's the creator. He should be revered for who he is. He loves us. He came to earth and saved us in the form of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for us to buy us back, you know. But he's God of all creation. And we should remember that when we're praying to him. Yeah, he calls us his friend. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, but it's God we're coming to. It's something that we need to really, really grasp hold of, having this godly fear that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the creator of the universe, and he's coming back for us soon. Amen. Hallelujah to that one. And also with the being afraid, when we looked at the scripture before in Mark, Jesus himself said, if you've got fear, you've either got little faith or no faith. Which is quite scary, really, when you think Jesus himself said it. You know, in Matthew 14, he says, O ye of little faith, why do you doubt me words? And then in Mark chapter 4, he says, you've got no faith. And yeah, these guys have been with him all the time. So if he can say it to the disciples, then we need to really be on our guard for what's going on. And then when I looked at, you know, we're not to be afraid. What are we not being afraid of? It says, don't be afraid of the dark. Something really strange happens when it's dark, isn't it? Your mind goes into overdrive. You see things that aren't there, shadows, whatever it might be. When you were a kid, you'd always put your head under the covers because it was dark, or if there was a storm outside, you'd be so scared. But this, you know, the darkness, when you look at it through scripture, it's related to the wicked. You know, it's causing the children of darkness in 1 Thessalonians. It says in Psalms that the wicked live in it. They live in darkness. In Psalms again, that they walk in it. So they're not just living in it, they walk in it as well, the wicked. And all their evil plans, Job says, are done in the dark. You know, the thieving, adultery, the rebels, it's all done in the darkness, so they can't, their plans can't be seen. It causes us to go astray, you know, it causes us to stumble, you know, physically and spiritually. You know, when the lights go out and it's pitch black in the house, the first thing you do is you put your hands out because you can't see. You're stumbling around in the place where you're so familiar, but as soon as the light goes off, it's a totally different thing. And it says that in John, it causes us to go astray and stumble if we allow this darkness to take hold. And again, if we allow the darkness to take hold, if there's the fear of the darkness, we've got an ungodly fear, which as born-again Christians, we shouldn't have that at all. And then the ultimate darkness is the punishment, which is set aside for Satan and his angels. but tragically, you know, people are getting dragged into hell every day. Darkness also, it says it's the power of Satan, is darkness in Ephesians. Again, like we said before, it's the path of the wicked. So not only do they live it and walk it, it's a path that they actually go on as well. And it also brings ignorance as well, as it says in John. So as we carry on with this, you know, it says, don't be afraid of the dark. We need the faith. We say we've got faith. But Jesus says, you know, if you fear, you've got little faith or no faith. And one scripture that really came to me when I was looking at this was, if we turn to John chapter 15. You know, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to cast out all of this darkness, this fear. And in chapter 15, verse 11, I'll read this one first. He's talking about abiding in him, being in the vine. We've been grafted in. And he says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, if we just turn back to chapter 14, if you just skip over the page to chapter 20, verse 25, the Lord himself, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow. You know, these precious, precious words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let your heart be troubled. You know, how many times do we read when he was talking to the disciples and he says, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It's me. It's me. Don't you know it's me? Let's have that faith. Let that faith build up inside us where we don't have that fear of anything, you know, whatever it might be. It might bring us to our knees, but we're giving him the glory, whatever we're going through. And the next part, it says, at the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. So that's telling me that we're going to go through the storms. We're going to walk through the storms, however strong they are. But there's the end. The end's coming. There is going to be an end to the storm. Every storm we've been through physically in our natural lives, there's an end to it. You can see the start of it. You see it building up to the crescendo of the thunder and lightning, whatever it might be, the hailstones, the gales, whatever it is. But it doesn't last. It stops. It comes to an end. At the end of the storm, it says, there's a golden sky. We don't know when it's going to stop. We don't know how it's going to stop. You know, we don't even know what state we're going to be in when the storm stops. But it's going to stop. And it depends where we're standing in the storm. You know, are we in a safe place? Are we on the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ? Or are we on unstable ground? Are we on the sand? Are we on the quicksand? Are we on something that looks fancy, but, you know, there's nothing there. There's no solidness to it at all. We've got to be on the rock. We've got to be firmly found to be on the rock. And if we're on the rock, we'll never be destroyed, ever. Never, ever be destroyed. However hard, however strong it comes in, however it might leave us when the storm's ended, we're still on that rock. We're still going to be able to stand up. When the Lord picks us up, dusts us down, we're still on that rock. And again, it's only through the Holy Spirit. We've got to have that fulfilling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We've got to have that foundation in Jesus. And he will fill us with the Holy Spirit. That will cast out all the fear. as we read before, you know, I will give you the peace. You go through the peace, you go through the storm, but you'll have the peace. The peace is in the storm and through it. And then, as the words say, you know, when the storm finishes, you know, you have these horrendous black clouds, massive, big, thick black clouds, and then there's a crack in the cloud, and that beam of sunlight comes through. And you think, I always used to think as a child, well, that's like heaven coming through the clouds. You know, it's, I think it was my grandma, I thought my mum used to say, you know, that, oh, someone's going to heaven like that. You have this amazing beam of light coming through the clouds, and then the clouds start dispersing, and then you don't just see the beam of light, you see the blue skies, and then eventually you see the sun. The wind stops, the rain stops, and there's a stillness, and then life begins again. It's like it picks itself up. And then one of the first things you do hear when the storm has ended is you hear the birds singing. You know, we hear blackbirds, you hear song thrushes, you hear larks. Like in the song it says, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. And that light has come through then. The darkness is gone because it can't contain the light. And when you look at the light, as we looked at darkness before, you know, it's all consuming. But with the light, it's Christ. He's the source of all light. You know, it's glory. It's the glory to the church, it says in Isaiah. In Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. It's going to bring glory to the Gentiles, it says, you know, when we read through it. If we look in Luke chapter 2, it's one that I noticed when I was going through this. In chapter 2, it was Simeon's proclamation of Jesus when he held him, and he knew he could go then. The Lord said, you're not going to die till you see the Messiah. And he says in chapter 2 of Luke, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Jesus Christ, he's the light that'll cast out every bit of darkness that there is. Acts, it says, it's the glory of Jesus Christ. The famous one in Psalms 119, isn't it? The word, your word is a light unto my feet. So, you know, it's not a light we see like in the room, but we read the scriptures. It's lighting us up. It's giving us that light. It's getting rid of all that darkness inside us, because we can see Jesus Christ in everything that we read. In 2 Corinthians, if we go to that one, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 4, it says, let's go back to 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So again, it's the light of the gospel. You know, this gospel that we preach, or should be preaching, it brings light into a heart, into a dark heart. It's the only thing that can change a heart. It's the only thing that can cast out any darkness, is this precious, precious word. In Ephesians, if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, please. The light here, verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Wow. So therefore walk as children of the light. Again, so we were in darkness. You know, before we met the Lord, before we accepted him as our Lord and Saviour, we were in darkness. But now we are light in the Lord. And as children of the Lord, we must walk in that light, taking the light of Jesus wherever we go. So wherever you go, do people see Jesus Christ? Do they see that light shining through you? That you're not like everybody else. You know, you're not worrying about things. You're not scared about anything. You've got this light bursting out of you. Or are we just like everybody else? we just put our heads down and walk around. Nothing's happening. Don't speak to me. Don't disturb me. You know, we've got to be so, so careful. And then in Colossians chapter 1, if we just read that one, please. Chapter 1 in Colossians, and if we start at I'll start in verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Given thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So that's our future glory, that's our inheritance, is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, you read in John chapter 8, Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. In me there is no darkness. And we walk in Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be any darkness in us. So there shouldn't be any fear, anything like that. We shouldn't fear the Lord. We shouldn't doubt anything that we're doing in him. You know, as he said before, if there's fear, there's no faith. So we've got to keep our eyes firmly fixed on him. The next part goes on to say, you know, walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. So again, that's telling us, walk on. It's saying it twice there, walk on, keep going, keep going. You know, don't stop, don't try and hide. Keep going through the storm, keep going through the wind, whatever it might be, keep going through the rain, whatever it might be. Yeah, you're going to get blown side to side, you might even get knocked over, you know, but you're going to pick yourself up. Keep going, no matter how hard it is, keep going. The end's in sight. It's starting to break, as it says in these words. You know, the storm's come to an end. Everything's starting to settle down. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep going with this walk with the Lord. You know, you might be praying for certain things that hasn't come yet. You're going through different storms. Keep going. I'm still praying. 30 years almost for Joe and the kids. Keep going. Don't give up. You don't never give up. You just keep praying and praying and praying. And you might feel like there's no end. There's no end. Oh, you know, I'm praying. Nothing's going to happen. So I'm just going to stop praying now. I'm going to give up. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to stop communicating with the Lord. He wants that little tiny bit of doubt inside you, that little tiny bit of darkness inside you. But we've got the faith and we've got the light to keep going and to keep praying and praying and praying. It doesn't matter how long it goes for. We just keep praying and giving it to the Lord. We keep communing with the Lord. We keep communicating with the Lord as well. You know, and not to let those little doubts get inside us. You know, when's it going to end? Is it actually really going to end? Or, you know, is this really going to happen? Or are you just praying to no one? Little doubts again, little bits of doubts going in. The more you fester on it, the more you think about it, the darker it becomes and the bigger it gets and the bigger it gets. You've got to cast it out with the word. The word's a light to our feet. Got to get into the word. Keep praying to the Lord. And again, as the song goes on, it says, walk on with hope in your heart. And that's again, it's saying again, it's like Jesus himself saying, isn't it? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It's me. Keep going. Keep going. You're going to get there. We've got to keep doing that. You know, we've got to keep getting there for each other. You know, we've got to be telling each other, geeing each other up. Keep going. You know, yeah, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Keep going. Keep praying. Urging each other not to give up. Urging each other just to keep walking on this path. You know, we're all on the same path, but we're all walking different ways. You know, we're all at different parts of this path, but we're all walking together. We've all got that hope in our heart, the hope of Jesus Christ. That's what we cling on to all the time. And again, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, what's going on, if like we've said over the last few talks, if you look at the world, you look at what's going on, you'd be sunk within 2 or 3 minutes. It just engulf you with the fears, the panic that's going on. But this says walk on with hope in your heart. So what is your hope? Where is your hope? You know, what's your hope in that you've got? Are you hoping that once this sort of dies down, this COVID thing or whatever it is that's going on, is my job going to be there? Is that what the hope is that you've got? Are you going to have the hope that, oh, my health gets better, hope it gets, you know, I'll be able to carry on with what I was doing before, I'm not feeling too good at the moment, I'll be hoping my health will be all right. Maybe it's your finances, you know, maybe you're in a position where you've been furloughed, where you're not getting your full wage, you know, is that your hope, that I'm going to get my full wage again? My job's going to be there, I'm going to get my full wage again. Are we hoping that people will like us? You know, if we make a stand for Jesus, whatever it might be, this message isn't a message that people want to hear. You know, are we hoping that people will like us? And, you know, I'll be okay if I throw a few jokes in, but we've got to give the gospel. We've got to give the gospel 100%. It's lift up Jesus. You know, are we hoping that people will think we're great or think we're okay? Again, what's the hope? Now, for those four things there, the answers are no, 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 and no. Our hope should be, and always should be, in God, and God alone. Our hope should be in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Our hope should be in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he is coming back. He's coming back for us. You know. And our hope is we're going to be with him for eternity. We're going to reign with him in heaven. And you try and get your head around that one. We're going to be together forever. In eternity. Where there won't be any fear. There won't be any darkness. There won't be any sickness. Because his light. There's no sun or moon. Because his light is sufficient. It says. They don't even need those elements. His light is sufficient for all of us. And if we turn to Romans chapter 15, please. You read the whole book of Romans, especially, you know, the chapter 15 is fantastic. But if we look at look at verse 13 in chapter 15, it says this is all of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So again, it's the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we can proclaim Jesus Christ with boldness. We look at the guys in Acts. Before the Holy Spirit came down, they were just hiding away. They were fearful of man. They were fearful of the leaders. There was darkness all around. Doors were locked. But then the Holy Spirit came, baptized them all in the Holy Spirit. And that darkness, it went. The lightness just shone through them. And they had so much boldness that they went out and preached the gospel. There was no fear of man. There was no fear of the leaders. No fear of going to jail. No fear of being beaten. Mocked. No fear of death. And you look at Stephen. The light was shining through them. And that's what we need. We need that power of the Holy Spirit. And then when we look at that. If we look at Hebrews chapter 6. Please. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 19. So Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. And again, when our hope is in Jesus, we're on that rock, if he is truly our rock. Verse 19 says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever." So, Jesus, he's our anchor. We're holding on to Jesus. Nothing's going to move us. We're on the rock of Jesus. We're in the Word, showing us the light. We're on the rock. We've got that anchor in Jesus. Our hope in him is our anchor and our rock. And if that doesn't stir your soul, I don't know what will. You know, you've got to be so on fire for him. And everything that's going on outside will just blow over you. It'll be like water off a duck's back. It won't faze you. It won't worry you. It won't hurt you or stress you out or whatever it might be, because you're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And again, as it says there, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So it's holding our soul firm to Jesus Christ, firm to that rock. So no matter how much we rock and roll, whatever we're getting blown, he's our anchor. And it's only him. And if we choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, if we accept him into our hearts and come in repentance to the cross of Calvary, if we believe truly in our hearts that he is God incarnate, that he did die for me and for you, that he did go to the grave, but the grave couldn't hold him there, that he did shed his blood for us to wash our sins away, that he did raise again from the dead, that's the, oh, hallelujah, yeah, he rose from the dead, that tomb's empty, you know, you can go and have a look, but I don't know what you're looking for, because it's empty, there's nothing there, he's in glory, and he's coming back for us, he's interceding for us, he's speaking to God about you and about me. And he's not just staying, he's coming back, and he's coming back for you ready. So, this, as I say, this song that people sing, you know, it's so deep, it's such a strong song as well. It's got so much in it. You know, walking on, keep going through the storm. Keep walking on, you know, we're going to go through storms, but it's going to end. And you've got to keep walking with hope in your heart. Our hope is Jesus Christ, in him alone, in his precious, precious word. And if we just close, if we look at Romans 10, please. I love this verse. It's fantastic. Should be screaming it from the rooftops. You know, and if this is what we should be doing, you know, if we truly believe what we say we believe, you know, if we truly, it's got to be inside us, got to have no fear whatsoever. So in Romans 10, we should be saying, you know, if we believe in the word in our heart, we got to proclaim it with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. No fear of man, no fear whatsoever. And when you do that, you know you're saved, you know you're born again, you know your sins are forgiven, you know the Lord's coming back for you. He's the hope in your heart, and if he is the real, true hope in your heart, you never walk alone. Amen.